College football writer with CBSSports.com. Dennis, thank you for taking time out with us. And it was interesting, your article yesterday, I was reading it, because certainly some of the things that I've been bringing up too, especially as the last 2 months have played out, there's a lot of questions. We don't know what the bottom is. We don't know how. We don't have all the answers until we get more time under our belts. But it's very sobering with the fact that, you know, the basis of your article talking about the just one more little nail in that coffin where the Power Five conferences, along with Notre Dame, could finally break away from everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of name, image, and likeness, and now the pandemic, where they were exposed, the NCAA was exposed financially in canceling the NCAA tournament, you know, at least contributes to the credibility issues that the NCAA already has, and the power that the Power Five has, if indeed they decided to go it alone. This has been a talking point for years because there was so much dissatisfaction with the NCAA, and I think for people to think it's just gonna be around forever, especially with what's going on now, is a little bit short-sighted. I mean, consider, if you will, for a moment, if this virus impacts next year's tournament. I mean, you have to have serious reservations, at least financially, about the NCAA going forward.
I was a former associate AD at Tennessee State University, and I could not remember a year. Every year, you know, you're dealing with making sure you've got more money coming in instead of money going out. And if you're now adding all this extra stuff to the mix, I really feel bad for the Group of Five conferences, and certainly feel bad for the FCS moving forward as well, as long as this continues to linger and being a problem as far as COVID-19.
Yeah, I feel confident saying this. The gap has never been as wide between the have and have-nots financially, competitively, attention-wise, people just caring about Division II sports, basketball, football. And this isn't going to help. I really fear for those schools having the financial wherewithal to even test athletes coming back. Who's going to pay for that? You know, the
it's expensive.
Schools can afford it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, $75 or so per test?
Yes. Depending on what test you use, absolutely. And I would submit this is when you really need the NCAA to step in and pay for this stuff. You know, this is student athlete welfare. This is something they need and something they can't afford. I mean, I had a quote in the story, I think it was from Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame SID. He said, not only will there be quote-unquote stratification, meaning separation of schools, that some athletics and programs will just go away.
Absolutely. And here's the other problem is the fact that, you know, first and foremost, I mean, we cover sports. We don't want sports to go away on these campuses. We know what they mean. We know what they mean is from a PR standpoint. But how do you argue keeping that when some of these schools are losing 40 or 50% of their academic departments?
Yeah, Akron already cut, 6 of its 11 colleges, basically 6 of its 11 majors.
Exactly.
More than half the majors it offers. And I am told, I'm digging down on this. I'm not an expert on this, but you think about there's some Division III schools where a majority of the enrollment is made up of athletes. Now, can you imagine if they don't play? They're just not there. That tuition isn't coming in, and that's what you're talking about when schools will just cease to exist. When most of the and there's some really, really good Division III schools that at that level, they don't offer scholarships. They have to pay their own way. If that tuition money isn't coming in, they're done.
And that's the biggest part of it right there, too, the impact, you know, future leaders of our country, you know, coming from humble backgrounds, not being able to use their athletic abilities to put themselves through school to make an impact in the communities down the road as well. I mean, I don't know what that looks like, honestly. And I'm surprised that, you know, why. I mean, I know that our leaders in D.C. have other issues right now to deal with, but that's certainly one that, if you're thinking about our future, that's one that's certainly very important.
Well, there was a higher education crisis before this pandemic hit. Enrollment was down nationally in secondary post-secondary education, which meant less money for these schools. I would submit to anybody that it's going to decline, again, maybe significantly, because think of all those foreign students that either won't come back or, frankly, with the way the restrictions are now, can't come back. They just won't be able to get back into the country, and that's a big part of some of these schools, especially on the West Coast. So it's gonna hurt. I mean, it's going to be a downturn in enrollment. Forget about athletics, where these schools just can't afford to do what they do from day to day.
Even when we think about the Power Five conferences, even the Pac-12 has been, floundering and behind the eight ball per se. And is this one of these situations too, if there is a breakaway? Because I'm not sure what happens to the Pac-12 as far as this 2021 school year is concerned, as far as athletics. And it may be a situation where the other four Power Five conferences kind of float the boat to keep them abreast, knowing the impact that some of those schools would have on their future, financials down the road too.
Well, that situation is kind of stabilized on the West Coast. There was a lot of consternation 2 weeks ago, when the Cal State System trustees said, weren't going to allow students back on campus. Well, that got clarified as a hybrid system, and especially at a place like San Diego State, where they can do half on campus, maybe half not, it would still be considered on campus. The same has gone with the UC system. You have four Pac-12 schools in the UC system, I think. Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA, and they have opened up those schools. There will be no prohibition of students coming back. So that situation has stabilized, at least for the moment, in the Pac-12.
And that's the part right there, that last part you used in that statement, for the moment. And because we don't know if this is what it is, or if that's going to be changing in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because there's still so much as far as an unknown is concerned. What we do know that as each of these weeks continue, if enrollment is down, student athletes aren't going to be there, there'll be no attendance at ball games. If we start looking down and looking at it from that standpoint, it's really sad what the consequences are going to be.
Yeah, and some of those we don't even know yet. The latest was the Michigan president saying, again, being the latest to say no students on campus, no football, and that brought everybody's attention because it was the president of Michigan. He's an epidemiologist. And would he really go through with something like that at Michigan with a 112,000-seat stadium? So I think what you just said, I think, applies. This will change. These situations will change sometimes from day to day. Who would have thought? I mean, even 2 weeks ago, we're having a discussion about having fans in the stadiums. Now we are. Right or wrong, there is a significant discussion about some schools bringing fans back. Not at capacity, but at some level of that. So that discussion has changed, and this one will change as well.
Dennis Dodd joining us again with CBSSports.com. The other part of this, too, if it's one of these things that we come to the conclusion, say sometime 1st of July, that if we – it may be a situation that they have to face. If we wait until January to get a more realistic college football season for everybody from West Coast to East Coast, instead of parts of the country going ahead as planned in September, maybe even October – but if we wait till January, which means everybody for the most part, in this way you can save a lot of these athletic programs, how much pressure is on the lawmakers in these states across the country to do that instead of worrying about, like in Alabama, instead of worrying about just Alabama and Auburn, you're taking all of these programs under consideration?
I'm not quite sure what you're...
Well, meaning that if you can delay, if it comes down to it where, like, the SEC decides we're going to go ahead as planned in September, maybe October, but if we saw it from a national standpoint to wait to January where we can get 90-plus football programs across the country, all different levels, being able to go ahead as planned, by waiting, we're able to save some of these athletic programs, is it worth the wait?
Yeah, the problem there is the central authority that would be to make that decision, and there isn't one. All we know for sure is the commissioners have told us either direct quotes or read between the lines that they are willing to go forward
right
in the fall without all 10 conferences participating, and within those conferences, not all the teams participating, and within that, not all the teams playing the same amount of games. The chairman of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee said today, "We fully understand we may have to judge teams that aren't playing the same round of games." That's the first time I've heard anybody say that.
That's right.
You might have a team playing six games because there was an outbreak, and it's undefeated, and somebody else played 12. I mean, that's literally what we're talking about now. But all the models right now, unless there's some sort of outbreak, which there could be, are to play in the fall. Bob Bowlesby said yesterday on our air, said there is going to be a disruption. And that to me was sobering. Okay, that means stopping the season or a team stopping its season, and then how do you restart it? Is that a forfeit? Is that a game count? But you know, for him to say that means they've been told it's going to happen by medical professionals. So it's in there. I don't know what it's going to look like.
What do you feel like could be the saving grace for the Group of Five, the FCS programs, and beyond?
Saving grace would be for everybody to play a full season and get the whole $475 million from ESPN for the college football playoff. A saving grace would be to play a full March Madness next year. But none of that keeps the gap from widening between the haves and have-nots. The question then becomes, what's the end game for that? And that's how this conversation started. Maybe the end game is that they break away. Maybe the Group of Five has its own playoffs and earns its own amount of money, or some of those schools just give up. You know, you're already seeing at the lower level, the Mid-America Conference is slashing expenses. Schools are cutting minor sports. Their basketball tournament is now down to 8 teams instead of all 12. I think it was the MAC that's not going to do conference tournaments or their minor sports. They're just going to declare a regular season champion.
Right.
They're already seeing. I mean, and if it gets bad enough, I'm talking about the downturn in economics, you'll see some Power Five schools drop sports and pressure the NCAA to drop the arbitrary 16-team minimum to be Division One, 16-team sponsorship minimum, which to me is very arbitrary.
Before we let you go, Dennis, first of all, thank you again for joining us. Also, let the listeners know how they can find this article and also keep up with all your work.
Real easy, cbssports.com. My Twitter handle is at Dennis Dodd, CBS, and yeah, pretty much those two.
I wish your article, you know, had better news, but it was a very intriguing article, and let's just all hope for the best.
Johnny, thanks so much.
Thank you, buddy. Dennis Dodd.